Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are listening to the Load Management Podcast. Why? I don't know.
What's going on, everybody? Brand new episode of the Load Management Podcast. This is your man, Chops, back for another episode. Huge episode on deck. I'm truly very excited. We have Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre joining us. Before that, a little introduction from my co-hosts, Adam Caporella, Zion with me. The New York trio, as they can call us now since we're all in the metropolitan area.
No.
The New York trio. Why not?
You're not from New York. Adam is not from New York. Adam,
I am from New York, actually, pal.
No, there's only one New Yorker on this.
My birth certificate says New York, pal.
It doesn't matter.
So one New Yorker and two transplants.
No, not two transplants. You're the transplant.
Did you guys see?
You're from the Ohio River Valley.
Did you guys see my tweet to Bauer? I tweeted him. I was like, yo, come on the pod and explain to my Yankee co-host what Garrett Cole is doing in these suspicious videos.
Well, we'll get him back on the podcast at some point.
Yeah.
He's kind of busy right now.
Your guys' team needs to be answered for in the cheating.
By the way, every single pitcher in Major League Baseball does something like that. So this is, it's just a matter of not getting caught like Michael Pineda years ago and stashing the pine torn in your neck.
If the listeners did not see the video, I sent it to Adam Zine over the weekend.
Yeah,
Garrett Cole's fingers literally stuck to his hat. He had so much pine tar or whatever on his hat. He literally had to like rip his fingers off. So yeah, but not to get too deep into baseball. Adam is excited. We teased him with some baseball talk. Like I said, Brett Favre on this podcast, really fun interview. Talked about Aaron Rodgers, his CBD empire he's trying to start, NFL at whole, Tom Brady, kneeling, all that kind of stuff. Really fun episode interview. Before that, we got to talk about Zion's favorite basketball player, Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant had a
How is that epic... my favorite basketball player?
He's not your favorite basketball player?
Continue with your narrative.
Continue where you're going with this.
I thought he was. I thought he was your favorite basketball player.
No, you know. Ben said Kyrie is my favorite.
Okay, player. Kevin Durant's your second favorite basketball player.
No,
third.
No.
All right, let's keep it moving here.
He's not top. Okay, so one of Zion's favorite basketball players, Kevin Durant, over the weekend.
How about a player on Zion's favorite team?
That's good. A star player, the best player on Zion's favorite team,
accurate,
is somehow not his favorite player. But over the weekend, KD, someone on Twitter made a video calling out KD over KD's finals prediction. KD picked the Clippers over the Lakers, like Adam did, and did a whole YouTube video. KD did what KD's excellent at Twitter. We've known this for years. He's had so many classic tweets, but he ended up tweeting the critic's girlfriend, liking all her pics and everything, and it was a big thing. And so, Zion, can you just explain KD's Twitter?
I am not explaining nothing about that.
Why? Nothing.
KD does what he does on Twitter. That's what he does.
Well, you're part of the youth, so why don't you explain youth behavior?
That's not, no. KD's closer to your age than my age. What are you talking about?
But he acts closer to your age than my age, so.
Okay.
I thought it was funny. People say KD's too online, but I thought it was funny.
He was trolling, obviously, for most people that don't. Like, he was clearly trolling, but.
Of course he was trolling, but
he's
tweeting.
A Twitter king.
He's so entertaining.
He is the NBA Twitter king. We have to give him that.
Tweeting, my bad, I accidentally pressed follow and liked all her pics, my phone tripping. That is an amazing tweet.
Excellent troll job.
How can you not laugh at that? I thought it was great. I thought Kevin did a great job with that, and people were hating on him.
He should be applauded for that.
I thought it was awesome. Did you guys watch sports over the weekend? It was a pretty packed sports weekend.
Nothing but sports, pal.
What was...
NBA bubble.
The bubble was very good. Shout out to TJ Warren, bubble MVP. But also, my Sixers pick is looking like it's on life support.
Yeah, it was on life support when you made it anyway, so.
Yeah, well, you picked them to go to finals. Yikes.
I picked them to go
Young Zion, you were kind of fucking with the Sixers.
I just said watch out for them.
With the Sixers also, pal.
I just said watch out for them. They could surprise people. But the thing is, they're not healthy now, so they can't prove it.
I mean, but it's like, over now. Without Ben Simmons, they're not doing
Simmons,
it.
I didn't pick them to go to the finals.
But they're not even going to make the second round now. That their season's over.
What seed are they? Six? They're going to play three?
They're going to play Boston, first round.
Overs. Oh, yeah. I got Boston going into the finals, so that kind of contradicts. So
they might get swept by the Celtics without Ben Simmons. Here's the thing, though.
Very easy could happen.
Here's the thing. There were some reports over the weekend that the Sixers are going to have to decide between Embiid and Ben Simmons in this offseason and might trade one of them. That's very interesting to me.
Well, I think the biggest change you can see is Brett Brown not coming back.
Oh, he's fired. He's fired, yeah.
Which
yeah,
I like Brett Brown a lot. He's fun to deal with from a media perspective, but obviously just shit hasn't worked out. He's been there, 6 years now? They probably need a new voice. And it seems like this talk of either picking Simmons or Embiid has been going on for 2 years now. So I guess it's going to finally come to a head. But, I mean, how bad are the Sixers capped out for the future with all the money they've given to Horford, Tobias?
The Horford and Tobias deals are looking pretty shitty right now.
Yeah, they are.
They got to try and trade one of them, but I don't know if they
can. And the only maneuverability, I guess, is either dealing Embiid or – I think Simmons, you'd have more maneuverability personally. But
Zion, who do you build around, Simmons or Embiid?
That's not even a question.
What's your answer?
It's not a question. It clearly should be Embiid.
I think it's Embiid, but it's very hard to build around a center.
It's hard to build around an injury-prone center. I'm not sold that it's Embiid. Embiid's a better player, but to build that team around, I don't know if it's Embiid.
Yeah, but who's the more skilled and who's the more filled out player in terms of what he brings to the table on an overall basis? Yes, I know Simmons is unique as a 6'9 point guard, but again, still so limited in what he can do. Why wouldn't you build around Embiid? Why wouldn't you have him be your cornerstone?
Because Simmons is younger, number one.
I was going to say less injury prone, but Simmons is racking up the injuries pretty rapidly.
Simmons with the right people too. I think Simmons is easier to surround with the right pieces than Embiid is, because Embiid is still I need the ball back to the basket type big.
You can make a case based on versatility of how Simmons can bleed into a few different positions between point guard and then the way the Sixers have used him in the postseason, kind of stashing him at power forward and having other guys be ball dominant. Yeah, he brings more versatility. But overall skill set and the dominant tone of what you want for your franchise, I would think that would be Embiid without blinking an eye.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they have a tough decision.
I don't think it's a tough decision. I think you go Embiid and get what you can for Simmons.
But why is this the first thing we're talking about in the bubble? The biggest news this weekend, Damian Lillard,
the beef. Are you guys team? That's a good one. Damian Lillard versus Paul George and Pat Bev. Obviously a big storyline. Shout out to the Blazers. Before we get to that, Adam, can you just apologize to Carmelo once again?
I don't have to apologize for anything.
Okay.
Give the context here. Go ahead.
Oh, we want the real context? Because you were about to write a story.
Yeah, I saved you.
I saved your journalistic career. I didn't need any saving because it was going to be a sourced story about what Carmelo could
sourced
still bring
with
to the table.
Clowns. Okay. No.
Adam was going to write
back maybe in November, even more context. Back in November, when Carmelo was on
maybe
the verge of
Melo shouldn't be in the league
of the Blazers because of everything that happened the last year, it was going to be a sore story talking to experts and various people who go on the record for this about why Carmelo wasn't in the NBA. Number one, and number two, why you should be skeptical of it, why you should be skeptical of it working with the Blazers, and you. 86 didn't kill them for reasons that are
I saved you.
Completely
I saved
no,
you.
I don't need any saving. Let me put that shit out. I want to put my byline
you needed
on that.
Saving.
I want to put
welcome.
My name on that. I'm completely fine with it.
You're
so
welcome.
I don't need to apologize for Carmelo because I personally have zero animus against Carmelo. I think he's fucking great. I enjoyed him with the Knicks. He's got a great personality.
Cap.
I root for him. And it's fun to see him doing, what he's doing as the lighter version of the Carmelo we've known for years past. So I don't owe him any apology. And what I brought up in the Allen Iverson podcast was storylines and sayings from other individuals to get AI's perspective on. And AI did in no way, shape, and form dunk on me during that.
He did not dunk on me during that high-level basketball discussion.
He windmilled on your head.
Yeah, bro, Adam, he dunked on you. That started
that
the trend of you getting dunked on.
And that
on
is cap
from
the two of you. I did not get dunked on. It was a smart, studious discussion about basketball, and AI was cool to see him get
clearly, you
jazzed
didn't do
up and hyped.
Research.
Enough about Melo. Zion's right. Dame won the weekend. 51 points a day after he missed two free throws and got called out by Pat Bev, and then Paul George jumped in, and it got real personal real quick on the ground.
But what was more impressive? Let me ask this question, Young Zion. What was more impressive, the 51 points on Sunday off the back-to-back or clapping back at Paul George and Pat Bev?
Bro, that clapback was amazing.
Which one? Which specifically say which one you think was amazing.
On Instagram comments, let me go and read it.
Yeah, the Instagram comments.
No, I know, but he had a few. There was a few.
Well, the first initial clapback.
The trade one?
Yeah.
The first one he said, oh, yeah, that he eliminated Paul George and Pat Beverly sent them home. That was great. Like that was the first one. That was the first haymaker. Then Paul George kind of got him back, saying, you know, okay, now you're going to be the one we're sending home and whatnot.
It's still playful at that point. At that point, it was still playful. And then Dame took it to another level.
And then Dame, I'm trying to find the actual comment that Dame said.
It's on our Instagram. You posted this weekend.
I did. I remember. Let me find it real quick. Egregious.
Social media should have this queued up and ready to go.
Yeah. No. This is on the fly. He said, keep switching teams, running from the grind. You boys is chumps. Man, woo! that was a knockout.
That got a little personal. But the first clapback was the best and most.
Nah, Paul George got personal first.
Also, the Paul George thing. He's ran from two teams. Okay, that's a lot. Okay,
he's been on his third team in 3 years.
I forgot he ran from the Pacers. Okay, he ran from two teams. The thing about Dame is, and I don't have any reason to think that he's going to leave, but he can't leave Portland because all these he's built his brand around. I'm never left. I'm never chasing a title. This is just me. So he can't. He keeps digging that mantra.
He's gonna. The only way he can leave is if they trade him, and it
has to be very clear that he didn't want it. You know,
yeah.
Because if you go to another team, guys are. It doesn't. Shout out to Pierce. Pierce had a viral tweet. Dame doesn't treat his NBA players like friends. They're his coworkers. It doesn't. It seems like that. It don't seem like Dame really. You know, kind of like fucks with a lot of people that aren't his teammates. But if he ends up demanding a trade later, it's going to look crazy for him. He can't, he can't do it.
Well, I will refer back to the story that I did on Dame from last summer, which basically dived into his loyalty to Portland. And he's there for the long haul. I mean, he's built a life for himself and his family in Portland, and he really fucks with the city. And he's all about loyalty, and that stems back for his upbringing where his family was incredibly loyal, and that's just innate in him. It's going to take a lot for him to ever ask out of Portland. It may happen in 3 or 4 years. Who knows? Because the NBA landscape can change so drastically. But, he is one of the few superstars, and you can define where you want to put him in the landscape of NBA superstars. But he's one of the few superstars that seem to be all about his word and about not wanting to leave. And I think even though he's going to be the first $50 million a year player in NBA history, I think starting next season or the year after, he'll be the highest paid player. Clearly the face of Portland, the best player Portland's had since probably – well, Clyde Drexler, if not a little bit earlier. And he ain't going anywhere.
He's the best player in Portland history.
Probably will in the end. Probably will be. But, it's going to take a seismic shift in the NBA paradigm for him to ask out of Portland.
So, bubble MVPs so far. We keep going back to this. Let's keep our running track. TJ Warren, Dame Lillard. Who else is bubble MVPs?
We're talking performance on the court.
On and off. You know, just overall bubble MVPs. Obviously,
Luka's been damn impressive.
Zion, have you noticed this? People are pushing back against Luka. It's becoming a black and white thing very quickly.
What way are you implying?
Yeah, explain on that.
Explain your race baiting proposal right now.
I'm not race baiting. I've seen people. I think people think Luka's getting too much hype for what he's doing. I've seen a lot of James Harden fans saying, hey, James Harden's making these same passes, and he is.
Okay.
And people are more hyping up Luka right now than James Harden.
Well, those James Harden fans need to fall the fuck back.
Why? Why?
Because was James Harden putting up these triple-doubles at 21 the way Luka is?
Yeah, I think it's a age factor, too, and the fact that, obviously, James Harden has been doing it for so long. So, I don't think it's necessarily – And you got to give Luka his credit. 34, 20, and 10.
I'm not trying to discredit it. I'm just saying I'm seeing Luka push back right now. It happens to everybody. Every emerging star starts to get that pushback, and I'm starting to see it with Luka right now.
I don't get that. I mean, the comparisons, the step back, and there's some similarities in the game here and there. But why are James Harden fans so concerned about
Luka? I saw a viral tweet over the weekend that says James Harden's doing the same thing you guys aren't talking about.
But I'll say that if I see any tweets saying, okay, Luka's better than James Harden, I'm not even ready to put Luka top 10. I'm still not ready to put Luka top 10 NBA players right now.
See, people are. People are talking about him top 5 right now.
You know what? Yeah, when we do our rankings again, whenever next season happens or begins, which, again, that's massively TBD at this point, it'll be an interesting discussion to have. Exactly. It's March of next year. Yeah. I mean, who fucking knows at this point? It's going to be an interesting discussion to have, but he's creeping up real quick. But clearly, James Harden is a superior player to Luka. But I don't get the shade. Like, why are people shading him for at 21? He's doing these 30, 20, 10 triple doubles.
But that's what happens when people come onto the scene. When people come onto the scene and they think that someone's getting too many accolades, I think too quick. There's a pushback, and I think we're seeing.
Yeah, but Luka deserves these accolades right now.
Zion, I thought maybe you would see it because you're online as much as I am. Adam's not on Twitter like that, but I saw it this weekend a lot.
I wasn't even watching that Luka game. I just saw the highlights.
But I saw that. Yeah, I saw the highlights.
I mean, he is a little bit overhyped, but I mean, you can't just ignore the numbers he's putting.
Why do you say he's overhyped?
No, just because, like, all year, like, that's you. And you remember, like, at the beginning of the year, I made the argument that Trae Young is just as valuable as Luka Doncic. I'm not ready to hop off that bandwagon until I think Trae Young has.
I mean, Trae needs a better supporting cast, number one, to definitively, you know, have that argument.
If you put Trae on the Mavericks, then how do we know the same thing?
Yeah, we don't know. Exactly. We don't know.
Like, but obviously, Luka definitely deserves his credit, but not yet. I need to see more. Give me the playoffs, and the Mavericks aren't even winning games. They're stuck in they're stuck in the seventh seed. And we'll see how they do in the playoffs. But
they're, people talk about them like they're a 3 seed, but they're a 7. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. But I think there's going to be – I'm ready for the Luka wars because I think they're coming. I think the Luka NBA Twitter wars are coming, and they're going to be I think him being a white point guard plays into it.
Race inevitably plays into it. And also, quick little shout-out, Porzingis has been playing awesome in the bubble.
Ooh, Adam said that so much pain behind his eyes.
We're talking bubble MVPs, right?
Yeah.
Mister, I called this. Let me get the context. I called this before it even started happening.
I don't know what you're about to say.
What are you implying here, pal?
I put it in the group text. I've been on this way before everybody. Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's been phenomenal.
I knew that was coming. Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr. A bubble MVP.
He is. I think I saw he's shooting like 70% from three in the bubble. He
leads the bubble in most made threes, so it's not even like
he's not taking a lot.
Enough. Yeah, he's taking a lot.
Yo, so what's up with these role players? Is it just because like there's no girls at the games, like they're not nervous playing in front of like shorties or something? There's something going on in the bubble.
I think it is less pressure, like with no fans, and you have a better ability to focus. Obviously, with the depth of perception, you could shoot better. I think it's why shooting numbers have been crazy. But like,
no, I think.
But then
right,
LeBron
though,
on the other side, LeBron's like, and you know, I love LeBron, but LeBron loves to make like shy excuses when he's not playing well, and he's not playing well,
and
right
also
now.
Fabricate motivation. But that's LeBron,
yes, 100%, and he's doing
so
that right
MJ
now.
MJ did it too.
Yeah, no, and LeBron's doing it right now. In 3 weeks, when LeBron wins 2 playoff series, he's gonna be Wash King all over again. But no, I love LeBron. That's
let's
what
see if
he
can get through the Blazers first.
Ooh. Oh, hey, really?
Well, we're gonna be writing about that. Check Complex Sports.
Don't approve of any story that says the Blazers will beat the Lakers in a series.
I just said check out Complex Sports this week. Kyle.
I don't think he's gonna say that.
That's not the headline, but I'm saying please read Complex Sports
because
we'll be
listen,
talking
the
about
Blazers
it.
Still can't defend the lick.
No, they can't but the Lakers
they
offense
not a strong
looks really
team,
bad yeah. right now. The Lakers offense looks really bad right now. We have Brett Favre on this episode. Not to get too ahead of ourselves, we have Brett Favre on this episode. Coming up, we're talking NBA bubble right now. Zion brought up Gary Clark, great bubble MVP.
Trent Zion, Jr., pal, not Gary, not a musician.
Gary Trent Jr., my bad, my flub. Zion, we got to bring up your Pelicans if we're going to bring up your win there because
who
the Pelicans.
My Pelicans? Why are they my Pelicans?
Because it has like 9,000 Duke.
Bro, those they're your Pelicans. When I think of the Pelicans, I think of you. You have a Zion shirt, don't you?
I am a Zion Williamson fan, yes.
So they are eliminated from the playoffs. I think that's a surprise to everybody. It just did not work in the bubble for them. That team looks like they hate each other.
They don't hate each other. I think it's just they don't have the chemistry that everybody else has. They didn't have the luxury of playing together the whole season like the Memphis Grizzlies did or even the Trailblazers for the most part. Like obviously they have
even
these
the Suns. Like the Suns are obviously undefeated as of recording this. And
you
like,
even mentioned like, Devin Booker as a bubble MVP.
Devin Booker is a bubble MVP. Yes.
But they're so young, so like it's gonna take longer for them to like mesh together. And at the same time, if we're being honest,
let's be honest,
Zion was not ready.
He didn't look good. I don't know what angles he caught. Like, Zion caught the angles on that picture he posted before the bubble of him working out, but that was not his real. I've done that before too. You know how you tilt the phone to make it look like you're looking like a little ripped and skinny. Zion had the perfect angle on that photo, and then the bubble came, and you're like, damn, he's kind of heavy. You know,
but and if you compare the pictures with him at Duke versus now, it's like, yo, it's crazy. You can see the difference. And the way he plays, he was just playing so lazy.
And let's give him credit. What difference? He still put up numbers.
Let's ask the Duke expert over here. What difference are you seeing?
The activity, the energy, the effort. Mm-hmm. Like,
Do you think he's too top heavy right now compared to what he was at Duke?
He is. I mean, I've battled that for so long this season. I've said it's like, nah, it doesn't matter. But like, he's not jumping. Like,
we didn't see any explosiveness in the bubble.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of dunks, but like, he's not putting effort. He's not
zero,
he's not
second jump explosiveness the way we saw at times.
And like, we've seen, like, I saw a stat today. He played like 102 minutes in the bubble. He does not have a steal or a block, and that's like not him. Because at Duke, this man was all over the floor. Like, he
looks like a shell of himself. He looks like a shell of himself.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Griff is very aggressive. They're going to do some sort of shakeup on that roster. I don't know if it's...
Is Lonzo Ball a free agent? Because if he is, he did not help himself in the bubble.
Lonzo Ball is definitely, I think, a candidate to get traded, but his trade value has to be in the fucking tank right now.
I mean, he's still young, but like... And I think his chemistry with Zion might like convince them, okay, you should keep him, but like, he was bad. He looked like Lakers Lonzo.
He was really bad. I think the Pelicans are going to be an interesting team to watch going forward, and kind of how what they do, because you know they got to pay B.I. Ingram. Ingram and Zion's fit doesn't look...
It's not great.
It's not great. Ingram played much better without Zion on the court for, you know, much of the season. So I don't know. They're going to have some stuff to figure out.
It's a bit of a disjointed roster, but it's obviously a work in progress. So yes, your boy Griff has a few things to work out during the offseason.
Before we get to our Brett Favre interview, huge shout to Load Management Podcast guest alum Austin Rivers going off in the bubble. 41 points.
Oh, quickly about Austin, because I posted it last night actually in the Duke community. And I said, like, do you consider Austin one of your favorites?
You're still on this goddamn conspiracy theory.
Listen, it got like 11,000 views, and people are like saying, there are a lot of people saying, I do not like Austin Rivers. And I personally, I like Austin Rivers, but I can confirm that sentiment I shared that you guys said I was capping on, it's right.
Well, then you have a lot of Fugazi Duke fans who show him mad love when he goes back to campus.
I mean
that's how do you feel about
people,
that?
People are, what did Lamar tell us? Lamar said that he would have people who talk shit about him take pictures with him. That's
exactly
just,
there's a million people with you know, and Twitter fingers that will, you know, slobber you the second they see you in person.
Exactly. So, but huge shout out to Austin Rivers. He told us, he said, yo, if like, and Russell didn't play, he's like, if some of these guys don't play, you know, I can get my numbers off too. So he went out and, you know, got his numbers.
You know, Austin was a high level ACC player at Duke. Like, he's always had skill level. It's a matter of opportunity, and it was cool to see, again, friend of Complex Sports and our podcast guest, one of our podcast guests from last week. What? Excuse me, pal?
You say friends of Complex.
Friend of Complex Sports.
Everybody's a friend of Complex Sports. I've never even met some of these people.
Well, for those I have met, he legit is a friend of Complex Sports, but cool to see him go for 41.
Quickly, before we get to the Brett Favre interview, I just read the Reds are trying to petition to have fans in the stadium. Would you guys go to a Yankees game if they let fans in the stadiums in 2020? Adam would.
Bro, I legit just went to Key Food for the first time in 3 months.
Zion like, creeped out.
I will say this. I was at an establishment outside in Manhattan last week. So, yeah, I would go to Yankee Stadium if there's proper protocols put in place.
Uh-oh. I mean, a baseball game seems kind of safe. I might go.
It's outdoors. You have vast areas of the stadium
taking the train to get there. You're not driving there.
I drove into Manhattan, so I'll put it that way. I did think about taking the subway, and if you see studies, some people say that the subway is not the, you know, cesspool if it's not crowded the way you would think it would be. But I'll probably still be driving to places around New York for a little while.
Here we go. I'm on the fence. I would lean. Maybe I would go to a game. Zion. We're not going to see Zion at a sporting event in a while. Adam would go to a Yankees game right now, though. It is interesting that they're petitioning for that, and it is interesting that baseball is still playing. basically with 29 teams. The Cardinals basically just don't exist to Major League Baseball.
The Cardinals are never going to play again.
That team just basically doesn't exist to the Major League Baseball. Let's get to Brett Favre real quick. RIP college football. It looks like it's a wrap. We don't really – Zion, do you watch college football? I know Adam's kind of into it. I'm not
– I used to cover it, so I mean I still follow
Duke
it.
Is good. Only one.
Oh, so
good.
Never?
And when Oklahoma. Stupid, and, huh? And Oklahoma. I watch
you like,
Oklahoma.
Duke's had some moments with David Cutcliffe.
No, I don't like Baker.
What? Oklahoma?
I like my Oklahoma. I don't like him anymore.
Okay, well, college football, it's going to be interesting. It sounds like if
it's
they don't play –
it's going to be interesting. This means zero games played.
No, I'm – well, does the NFL play on Friday and
well,
Saturday?
Well, you
like
would think the NFL
now?
Would be savvy enough to switch games.
The NFL is
so
not yet. Happening, ladies and
NFL
gentlemen.
NFL is happening. Don't
Zion,
even okay. –
the NFL is happening.
Yeah, on that note, I guess let's get to our interview with NFL Hall of Fame quarterback, three-time MVP Brett Favre. He's got a lot to say, so let's get to it. Huge special guest today, NFL three-time MVP, Hall of Fame quarterback, Brett Favre, joining the Load Management Podcast. Brett, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Brett, before we get into this, I told my mom you were going to be on the podcast, and she was so excited.
Well, I it's funny because when I encounter people, you know, like the younger generations, sometimes they're like, now, who is he?
No way.
People disrespect
I do not
like
believe
that.
You.
So I relate to the older people. Time flies, man. But tell her thank you.
We do not believe you, Brett. We do not believe you. Let's get into it real quick. So Green Eagle CBD, walk us through that a little bit and how you got involved. And would a 20-year-old Brett Favre be surprised that you're in the CBD business?
At 20 years old, I didn't know what – I don't even know if CBD was a term that anyone used. Marijuana was, I guess. Which, fast forward to this, about 8 months ago, I think, I was introduced to Joseph, and I always butcher his last name, Smodja is how I say it, who is the CEO of Green Eagle. Now, they have been in France for quite a I guess France is way advanced in the CBD world and maybe other countries as well. But they're very reputable and have done extremely well in France. We're in the United States and I think we're a little behind on CBD. Even though it seems like everywhere you turn, there's a CBD store. But I was skeptical at first. I was introduced to Joseph through a mutual friend. Basically, Joseph was inquiring about finding an ambassador to help promote here in the States. I'll be honest with you. I assumed, probably like most people, that CBD has THC in it. I'm sure there are some that do. But I was emphatic about not getting involved with anything that has a drug in it. You may or may not remember or know, I had a pain pill addiction and really, my first 5 years with Green Bay, I spent three different times in drug rehab trying to kick it. And at my peak, I was taking 15 Vicodin ES at a time. I had two seizures. So I say all that because the last thing I want to do is promote anything that can be addictive. This is not addictive. This does not have THC in it. So once we got that out of the way, I said, I need to try it to see if it works. Joseph gave me both a tube and a roll-on, same product. And I ran a half marathon, which I can't believe what am I thinking? I ran a half marathon. When I was done the next day, my legs were, nothing structurally was wrong. You know, I didn't have a broken femur or a torn ACL, but I was sore. So I used it. And it worked. Yeah. So here we are.
Wow. So, I mean, just looking at your playing career and how beat up you were, how much would you have liked to have this back then? Just, you know, with the game streak and everything.
I think for everyday aches and pains, which is primarily what you face. And, you know, fortunately, there's not every other week you don't have a torn ACL or a broken bone. You have... you know, bruised thigh, you know, you fall on your shoulder three or four times in the game and it's sore as heck the next day. it would have been great to have this product available then. Would I have not gotten addicted to pain pills? I certainly would like to think so, and that this will save somebody in the future. I would have loved to have had this product then.
What's the worst injury you ever played through?
The one that I really thought was going to be the one that's kept me from playing was a broken thumb on my throwing hand. You know, it's kind of like Usain Bolt saying, I got a broken foot, but I'm a run in the 100-meter, you know, Olympic race.
Yeah.
I broke it against the Rams at St. Louis. The following week, we were playing a Monday night game at Minnesota, which we had historically, we had terrible games there, even when we won the Super Bowl. And I thought, well, this ends that. And I actually played with a splint on my finger, on my thumb, and had probably the best I know I had the best game of the year, that game, but I had the best 9-game stretch after that, probably in my career. But that I had a torn, and I didn't even know this existed. I tore an LCL in my knee. we all have heard of ACL. We all have heard of MCL. But yeah. I said, an LCL, what is that? That's a lateral. so on the outside, that I thought would – I had to play with a brace for like 4 weeks. I don't know if you know, thinking about the broken thumb, I don't know if Green Eagle, the product, would help very much with a broken thumb. Maybe a little bit with the LCL. But, again, when you got something structurally wrong, I don't know if Copper Fit or Green Eagle is the wise choice.
Right. You need to go under the knife for that one. But yeah, I mean, Brett, we have you on Zoom right here. And, transparency's sake, you got the pipes going right now and you're running half marathon. You seem to be in pretty good shape. So the question I'm going to ask for you is, how much do you miss the game? Because you look like you're in great shape right now.
You know what? I don't miss it at all.
Really?
But there are aspects of it that I do miss. I miss the camaraderie with the guys. What I don't miss is the stress to perform at a high level week in and week out and what that entails during the week. It's no matter how good you did the previous week, the good players and the great players put so much from an expectation standpoint upon themselves that it's almost unattainable, if that makes sense. So rather than say, man, I had, you know, not saying this publicly, but to yourself, say, you know, I played well. We won, or even if you lost, I played as well as I could, and I'm okay with that. And I just move on. It's not that easy. And the older you get, the more stress you think about and you worry about things that you can't control. Is this guy studying? What if they don't, you know, what if they come in and change their defense against this unit? And as a young guy, I didn't worry about that. I was just along for the ride. You know, as I got older, I looked at things more like a coach. And coaches are under a tremendous amount of stress, especially the older ones. So I don't miss that part of it. I don't miss, hey, it's third and 15. There's a minute and a half left. And we're down by 8. We have to score and get a 2-point conversion. The odds seem insurmountable. So I don't miss that.
Do you think, so going back on that, as you mentioned guys getting older, so is Aaron Rodgers about to have his most stressful season for the Packers?
I would think each year, and Aaron and I have talked a fair amount the last 2 years and several times since the draft. There's a lot of stress right now because there's this uncertainty of whether or not we're playing.
Yeah.
Play, what does that look like? Am I going to have all my guys, or am I going to have guys choose to opt out? You know, total new uncharted territory for everybody, even the fans.
Yeah.
But I think from a stress standpoint, after last year, which was a great year for Aaron, and they almost got to the Super Bowl with nobody. But I think he's starting to feel kind of, because now he's at the age that I was when we drafted him, 35, 36 in that area. You know, you start realizing that the end is much closer than it was when you came in. And he finally got a little dose of a new regime. You know, you may or may not even have realized this, but when Aaron was drafted, I was the only guy on that team from the initial team that I joined the Packers. And I say that from a coach and a player standpoint. Several of the trainers are still there. Several of the equipment guys. I say that because I seem like the odd man out. I would look around sometimes and go, even though I've been here longer than everyone, I feel like the new guy, the odd guy.
Yeah.
And he's starting to get a little sense of that. You know, a new coach comes in, drafts a young quarterback. By no means does Aaron feel threatened by that, but it just kind of like a slap in the face, like, ah, now I see what you went through, Brett. you look around and go, all the guys I started with are gone.
Did he say that to you? Because I know you mentioned you talked to him. Did he admit that to you?
Yeah, more or less he admitted that. And we were talking about the draft. And, you know, people want to think that he's upset about Jordan Love. No, he's upset about the fact that they didn't get immediate need. He, by no means does he feel threatened, and he shouldn't. But he was just hoping for maybe, you know, a counterpart to Davante Adams, maybe a slot guy, maybe a Z receiver, something like that, maybe a stud tight end. But that didn't happen. So, yeah, we've had several conversations, but, you know, he's in a good place.
I'm sure you've been asked this a bunch of times, but, I mean, you know, all of us watching the draft were absolutely shocked to hell that the Packers made that decision. So, I mean, how shocking was it to you if you were either watching live, you found out what route they went in the first round?
I was very shocked. You know, they obviously know way better than I do. I'm from the outside looking in. No one asked my opinion, nor should they. But I thought, you know, our situation when I was the quarterback and the Packers drafted Aaron, and now fast forward to Aaron and Jordan Love, very similar, but there is a very big difference. The big difference is we were coming off of a losing year, I think the only losing year in my career, mm-hmm. When we drafted Aaron. It wasn't like we were on the verge of Super Bowl.
NFC championship game, yeah.
Now, with Aaron, they're two, three plays away, or some may say a player away from the Super Bowl. And I think everyone, whether you like the Packers or not, would agree to that. So you would think you go for immediate need. I'm not saying that a quarterback's not important, but no one expects him to play, and I wouldn't think, in the next 5 years, unless it's mop-up duty. So not only do you draft a quarterback, you trade up, which means that you're giving up a pick or getting demoted back way further in the draft on a pick for a guy who doesn't help right now. And not only doesn't help right now, but may run the risk of running to the end of his contract while Aaron is still playing and chooses to play and wants to stay in Green Bay. So do you re-up the guy you drafted without even seeing him and paying him a huge deal, which is what will happen without seeing him play? So it was kind of a head scratcher for me.
I know you had previously also said you don't think Aaron's going to finish his career in Green Bay, right? I mean, that Matt LaFleur recently said we have plans for Aaron for a long time, but I don't really believe that. You know, you don't draft a quarterback and trade up for one.
Well, the Packers organization would be absolutely stupid to think, to even publicly make a statement that we're preparing for the future, because we don't know what Aaron's going to do. That may be 100% true, but you say he's our quarterback, and as long as he wants to be our quarterback, we will, you know, we'll be happy, because he's, you know, arguably the best player to ever play the game. But the way things go in this league now, Tom Brady, did we ever think we'd see him in another uniform?
No.
No, I'm like you. I thought, no. Peyton Manning, you know. I kick-started it all.
I would say yourself too, Brett.
Yeah, but that, when I did it, now it's kosher to do it, and not only kosher to do it, to retire and unretire. Now it's no big deal.
Yeah.
So I say that because I would not be surprised if he finishes with another team. I'm not saying that he told me that. I'm not saying the Packers are, you know, secretly are saying that. I just, based on what's happened in the league presently, I would not be surprised.
I mean, quarterbacks are playing until they're in their 40s, and at some point the organization has to move on from somebody. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has a ton of awesome football left. I mean, Tom Brady is now, what, 43?
Yeah,
starting 44. With a brand-new team, and the Buccaneers 42. Could be the most stacked offensive team in the NFL this season. So it's like, yeah, Rodgers is going to be playing for a long time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's several storylines that are intriguing. Obviously, number one is what will Tampa do with Tom Brady? And what, I think what did, do very good things.
What advice would you have for him? Because you going to Minnesota is a little similar to that in the sense that, you know, older quarterback going to a contender type thing. So what advice would you have for Tom?
Well, I did talk to him at the Super Bowl. We had the top 100 honoring prior to the game. We had some time to visit, and he had not made his decision yet. And he had asked me, now, as I look back, retrospect, was I glad I did what I did? And I said, absolutely.
Oh, so you helped him go to Tampa.
Look well, yeah, yeah, you had a point.
he never gave any indication that there was bad blood between he and the organization. I would be shocked if there were.
The Patriots,
you know, create an environment where he felt like he needed to leave. I don't believe that. So for him, it's a little bit different. You know, it wasn't like, okay, I got to go prove to my whole team that he doesn't have to prove anything. I just told him really the cool thing about it was it's like starting over, but with so much more knowledge. It's like the old saying, you know, if you could go back to high school knowing then what you know now, or really any point in your life. So he's going to do wonders for that team. The question is, do they get to work together? What kind of chemistry? You know, this is different than when I went to Minnesota. You can't, at least he hasn't been able to have a mini camp or, a stage practice.
Well, he's been doing those kind of quasi-legal workouts in the parks over there down in Tampa. So he's been trying to finesse some things here and there.
Well, you know he's going to. I mean, you know, he's invested way too much in this. And he's the best. I mean, so he's going to figure out a way to get it done.
Back to Aaron real quick. Where do you think he could go that would inflict the most punishment on the Packers? Like, say he wanted to go your route. You want to show him that you still got it. I was thinking the Bears, because the Bears got a pretty uneasy quarterback situation.
I would love to see that. I mean, that would...
You'd love to see Aaron Rodgers on the
Bears? Well, I mean, just from a standpoint of we have killed the Bears collectively.
Yes.
And, I mean, Bear fans would probably be like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am so glad Aaron Rodgers is on our team.
Oh, they would embrace him in a hot second. Oh,
in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't? I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah. He instantly makes you a contender.
Yeah, and that team, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, you know? Like, that team is right there everywhere else, you know?
The question is with the Packers, well, you know, if his contract runs out or he chooses not to re-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And easily, he's a young 35, 36. You know, he's been banged around a little bit, but he does a great job of avoiding hits. So at 40, if it happened at 40, he's still – his arm strength and mobility still will be as good as any in the league.
100%. While we're talking about quarterbacks, Brett, I'm interested – Who are your top five? Do you have a top five current quarterback list? Do you ever think about that?
I saw some poll that came out the other day, and Tom Brady was fifth and Aaron was sixth. I'm like, are they crazy?
People are crazy.
If you base it strictly off of performance and results, Tom Brady's one. Aaron Rodgers is two. Breeze is three. Mahomes is four.
Okay, all right.
Four? Brett, some people would call that a hot take.
Lamar Jackson could be fifth, but easily, if you base it off of just the wow factor, Lamar Jackson's one. But Russell Wilson's got to be in the top five as well.
But if you were starting an NFL franchise right now and we had this mythical draft and you get to pick one player, are you picking Mahomes first?
You'd have to from, I mean, unless you take Brady at 22, you know, 22 years old. But yeah, I mean, Mahomes definitely has 20 years left in him, and that's scary for everyone else.
He's got some Brett Favre in him.
You know, had Lamar Jackson won the Super Bowl.
I mean, Lamar was technically a better pocket passer than Mahomes last season, which people don't realize. Not technically, actually he was. Yeah, he threw more touchdowns from the pocket than anyone else in the NFL.
I think that's statistically, but realistically, we know Pat Mahomes is probably a little bit more skilled in the pocket than Lamar.
Brett.
Yeah, I would agree.
Brett, as a Browns fan, I know. And they get mad at me for bringing up the Browns.
He brings it up every podcast, so this is why we get pissed at him.
So this is a big season for my guy Six, who's a big fan of yours.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? Can Baker bounce back?
Absolutely can bounce back. I mean, he's been resilient through his whole career. Think about it. In college, he was a walk-on. I think it was at Texas Tech. Is that right?
Texas Tech. And then he went to Oklahoma.
Went to Oklahoma. Look what he did there. You know, I think last year was probably a good experience, a humbling experience for he and the rest of the team, especially for the ones who are returning this year. There's a lot less chatter, a lot less talk. And again, it was humbling. You know, there was so much hype. Some of it was self-induced going into last season. Even I thought, man, they're going to be lights out. And it was okay. You know, as the season fell into the latter part, they got better. And I think because they kind of just, you know, threw all the other, you know, stuff that doesn't matter and just played. And I think Baker will certainly bounce back. I think he'll have a wonderful career. He's a competitor.
Well, since Chops asked that, now I got to ask my question that combats that. Between the two young quarterbacks of Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield, who will you take long term?
Zion's a Giants fan, so.
I like Daniel Jones. He seems to just show up, go to work, and play. And he's more mobile than I thought he was, which I think today's game very rarely – are you going to be protected like Tom Brady has been protected and Drew Brees has been protected? Two guys who are not very mobile and don't need to be as long as you protect them. But I'd say right now I'd give the edge to Baker Mayfield. And just from a sense of he's been in big games. And I say that thinking from a college standpoint, he's been, you know, at the bottom of the totem pole. And has managed to work his way up and persevere and overcome adversity. And here we are again. He's got to overcome adversity. Everyone thinking, you know, was he a bust? And I don't think he was. I think Daniel Jones is one that could easily prove me wrong and be a Tom Brady-esque type quarterback. Very polished, very smart, does things the right way right away. He's not going to kind of – Baker is a lot like me in the gunslinging mentality. Fun to watch. If he can control that and, you know, that wow factor he's got. In some ways he's similar to Aaron Rodgers right now. Now, by no means is he in that category, but his play style, a little flamboyant, got good arm strength, buys time with his legs. And I mean, I don't know what it's like to be in a huddle with him, but he seems like a tremendous leader. And he's going to have to be to carry that team. But I like Daniel Jones. I really do. I think he'll be good for a long time.
Brett, you bring up a little bit of like trash talking. Who's the best player you've heard talk trash on an NFL field? You used to yap
he's
a little bit.
Warren Sapp.
Really?
The hardest guy I've ever seen our offensive line have to block, and the best shit talker ever. So not only was he kicking everyone's butt, but he was telling you about it. I mean, like right in the middle of the play.
But what was he doing? Insulting, like, you know, your mama? Like, what was the go-to lines here?
You know, Warren was, you know, he's got a lot of credit because he's in the Hall of Fame, deservingly so. But what he doesn't get credit for is being a very smart player. And he's actually, he's a lot smarter in person than people probably give him credit for. I just think he's a fast defensive lineman. He wants you to think that he's, you know, he ain't the smartest guy in the world, but he would come up to the line and say, hey, he would call out one of the linemen's, one of their kids' names or something, ask how they were doing. He was one that would get into your head. But, you know, one of his patented lines was, look, I'm going to be kicking your ass all day. And whoever it was in front of him, and if he was on top of me, he would be saying, four, going to be a long day. I'm going to be on your ass all day. And he would be. I mean, it wasn't like I could say, oh, yeah, what? You're right.
The Packers and the Bucks, unsung rivalry of the early 2000s.
NFL. Oh, we had some great, great games. When they got really good, you think about that defense. Hey, John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Derrick Brooks, Stephen Rice. Man, were they good.
There was some matchups right there. What's prime Brett Favre? How many touchdowns is prime Brett Favre throwing in 2020 with the new offense and everything being so spread out and all this?
I'd like to think I could, you know, it's funny because I threw for a lot of touchdowns, but like yardage, I only threw 400 yards one time.
One time?
In 321 games.
You'd be doing that every other week nowadays.
You'd literally average like 3 out of 5 a game.
You know, our offense was, I remember day one, Mike Holmgren, he said the West Coast offense is we pass as if we're running. 3 yards is good. And we didn't throw the ball deep. It was all about yards after the catch. It was about high completions. And if you think back to Joe Montana, he threw some deep balls to Jerry Rice. But how many times did you see him catch a slant and go 80 yards?
All the time, yeah.
So the offense was built on completions and get yards after the catch, not big home runs. Those are low completion rates. So in today's game, I don't know if I could have thrown for that many more touchdowns. But I would have thrown for more, but certainly a lot more yards.
Brett, our young co-host down there, Zion. Hang on, Zion. Let's ask this question. This relates to you, though, because he is the most pessimistic individual right now with the pandemic going on and thinks we're not going to get football. So in your expert opinion, are we going to have football without any interruptions this upcoming fall?
You know, I get asked that question every day. And, of course, I don't know any more than the next because I don't think the league knows. I'm assuming, just based on what I'm hearing, is they're going to play. Now, what that looks like, I have no idea. I can't imagine a Monday night game in Lambeau with nobody in the stands.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird. And the players, you know, you get hyped up. I mean, I think probably the one sport where it really makes a difference by not having fans is like MMA, UFC. I mean, you got a guy who's just got you in a chokehold and just knocking the fire out of you, and all of a sudden the crowd starts chanting your name. You get this second win, but if there's no one saying, "Come on, get your ass up," you tap out. And right, football's kind of like that. You know, you kind of feed off the crowd; they go crazy, and you get momentum. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Brett, before I let Zion go here, before we get you out of here, we have a segment called One Gotta Go. You want to play with us?
Sure.
Let's do it. QB's up first. Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, One Gotta Go.
I love all three. I think I'd have to let Peyton go. And it's hard to
Based on Super Bowls, yeah.
I mean, to me, it's Tom Brady and Joe Montana, the two best ever.
Okay. Do you have a favorite? Do you just go back and forth on who's the best ever? Or are they right neck and neck all the time?
I'd say that, you know, obviously Tom's got more Super Bowls, but Joe's is undefeated.
Yes. Tom's lost some.
Tom's about as flawless as
Tom's lost as many as Joe won.
Yeah. So,
Tom's about as flawless as you get, but I watched so much film on Joe Montana when I went to Green Bay because I was running that offense in it. And it was disheartening to watch because he was so perfect and he never got rattled. And I always envy that.
100%. Here's one we got. Wide receivers. Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald. One got to go.
Larry.
Okay. Is that too
no
easy?
Hesitation.
Who can we put in for a
that
third?
That was too easy, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Who's the third? I don't know.
Who would be the third receiver?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another.
You said Randy Moss. Who else?
What about if we put Michael Irvin there? That's too. I think Randy and
Michael
Jerry
got to go
on,
also. It
yeah,
it's,
Randy it's, and Jerry yeah, are just
Mike
on another
Irvin,
level, right?
Rice and Randy Moss on your team, and you didn't win by 40 every game. You got, and I'm talking about you have the worst quarterback ever, but he could throw it deep. That's all he can do. You're going to kill teams. He's going to be 8 for 40 passing with 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you played against Randy all those years, but probably the most exciting player I think I've ever seen.
He was unstoppable when he was in his prime. He was in his prime for over 10 years. The first Monday night game with Randy Moss the Vikings played us in Lambeau. And I'd heard all about Randy. I mean, he hadn't really done anything to this point. This is his first year. But yeah. I heard, you know, and seen the, a lot of his games, Marshall were on TV, and he had like 28 touchdowns his senior year. So I'm like, I gotta see this guy. He has 270 yards receiving that night and an 80-yarder called back. Think about that.
Insane.
And we played cover two, which you should never get beat deep in cover two. And he beat us probably 3 times over the top.
That's insane. He was definitely – was that Randall Cunningham throwing – was that Randall Cunningham his first year?
That was Dante Culpepper that game.
That was Randall Dante Culpepper.
You know what? Who came first, Randall or
Dante? It was Randall was first, I think.
So it was Randall then.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we get out of here, because I'd be shooting myself in the foot if I didn't ask this. But obviously, what's going on in the society and whatnot, and players taking a knee and whatnot. What are your thoughts specifically on like players taking a knee during the anthem? And
I think the guys that are taking knees for a great cause. I know a lot of them. I have a tremendous amount of respect for them, and I think it's. You know, this country is a free country, freedom of speech, religion. And so it's a noble cause. And, you know, when Drew Brees made the comment that he would stand for his, you know, for his dad, for his grandfather and his great grandfather, that made sense too. I don't look at either one as being negative. And I, this country seems to get more heated and divided over things that we shouldn't. We're all, you know, I look at this, we're all in this together, just like a game. Mm-hmm. I need a Hispanic guy blocking for me just as much as I need the white guy blocking for me. I need the black guy to catch the pass for me or make a tremendous run. I mean, so we're all in this together. We lose sight of that. And, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. You know, what you like, maybe I don't like. Does that make you wrong or me wrong? No. But we tend to worry more about what that person's doing or not doing rather than cleaning our own house. And, you know, if we look at it that way and you know, God calls us to love everyone. And that can be hard at times, including your own family and friends. But, you know, we need more compassion. We need more religion. You know, I grew up Catholic. I'm a religious person. And I think if we all had Jesus in our life, we'd be much better off. Whether we kneel, stand, agree, disagree. You know, so I hope we can pull this thing together for everyone.
Awesome. Thank you, Brett.
Appreciate it, man.
I'm talking with all of you. Take care.
Yep.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Brett.
All right.
See ya. Huge shout out to Brett Favre. Had a lot to say. You know, always good to talk to an NFL legend, quarterback legend, about their perspective on things. That was very interesting. Shout to Zion for getting that question on the end. I thought that was very important to kind of talk about real shit that's going on. Before we get out of here, we've been teasing our new segment, Listeners Unloaded, where you guys can call in. That number is in our description on all of our socials as well. So make sure you go check it out. But we want to give you guys a taste of it. We have our first caller that we're going to include to kind of give everybody an idea. Call from James Safura, who has some thoughts on the Browns. Let's check it out.
Well, first of all, I think that this is finally the Browns' year that make the playoffs. I think they're about to go 11-5. Maybe not win the division, but still make the playoffs. But my question is, who, outside of Baker, Miles, Odell, Jarvis, and Chubb, do you think is going to have, like, a breakout year? And that's it. Big fan of the show, by the way.
Woo, a good one to start. I like that. I like that energy. How mad are you guys that we're just probably going to have a bunch of Browns fans?
No one, because no one cares.
We're not going to be talking about
the Browns. We don't give two shits about the sleepers on the Browns team.
Do you guys have an opinion on this?
Listen, for the Browns this year? Hang on one second. Shout out to him for being a loyal listener. We appreciate the feedback. Like, thank you.
Are we going to disgrace our fans?
Mildly, because I don't want to deal with fucking sleepers on the Browns secondary or some asshole coming off the bench, because we don't give a shit about this. Okay, the Browns will be lucky to go 8-8 this season.
Well,
the Browns
we'll
are going 7-9.
Above all else, shout out for James for calling in. Make sure you guys do now. We want to talk about other things for other than the Browns. But shout out for him calling in. Loyal listener. I thought that was very cool.
So, no, you got to answer his question still. You know, still.
Yeah, go ahead. We don't really.
I have to answer the question?
Precisely 1%, if not less, of the audience, especially, and 0% of your co-hosts give a shit about your answer, but please go ahead.
I think Grant Delpit, Greedy Williams on the defensive side. Our breakout candidates. He didn't mention Kareem Hunt. I think Kareem Hunt's going to have a big season. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. That was a fun episode. You guys have some fun?
I did until we had a Browns voicemail.
Yeah, that ruined the whole thing.
Okay, all right. Well, I thought it was, you know, a good time. So this is another episode of Load Management Podcast. Make sure you follow us all on Twitter, at Adam Caprell, at @PChops_, at Zion Olajide. And follow Complex Sports. Until next week, we'll see you guys later. Special thanks to our producer, Josh Dodd, our associate producer and sound engineer, Jasmine Plata, our production manager, Chancel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, who gets us all our great guests, our director of talent relations, Kristen Price-Harrell, who also gets us a great guest, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, shout out to the main man in charge, our GM, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.